passage before us this evening, the Lord allows us a glimpse into the temple as some people are gathered there to worship. And in this parable, we see that one man came to church that day to worship himself, and the other man came to worship the Lord. Now, the man who came to worship himself was a Pharisee. The Pharisees were a group of religious leaders from the Jewish religious sects of that day, and they were arch enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were constantly criticizing him. That was really their aim in life. As you read the Gospels, you see they spent their whole time following the Lord about, spending time criticizing him as he preached the gospel, trying to catch him out in things. But their religion was basically for show. It was more emphasis on the outward than the inward. They're more concerned with the praise of man than they were with the praise of the Lord. We'll see that over in Mark's Gospel. Turn there for a moment to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. We'll see how these men are described here. Let's read some verses here. Mark 7, verse 1. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defile, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? He answered and said unto them, Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoureth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. So here we see in these verses what these men were all about. It's all about tradition, all about legalism. It all boiled down to a works religion. That's all they were concerned about. They sought to be better than everyone else, and they sought that they knew the right way. They thought they were better than anyone else, and they knew the right way to God. They were self-righteous hypocrites. So let's consider one of these men this evening as we consider two men who went to pray. Let's look firstly at the Pharisee. Notice his self-righteous security here. We're quickly told in this parable that this Pharisee trusted in his own righteousness, which gave him a sort of religious security. This has not changed in our day, for there are a multitude of Pharisees in our land who trust in their own righteousness. Notice the first thing Christ said about this group of people in verse 9 here. He said, They were certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. They trusted in themselves that they were righteous. That's a very good description of a self-righteous person. He's one who will trust in himself. They look to their own good works, to their religion, to their works, their rites, their ceremonies to get them to heaven. They trust in what they do to get them to heaven. And friend, this is one of Satan's biggest lies. From the very beginning of time, this has been Satan's lies. From the very beginning, that man can get his own way to heaven by his good works, by his deeds. He still whispers in the ears of man. Satan comes along and he says, Hath God really said that thou must repent, turn from your sin, and trust solely in the Lord Jesus Christ? Hath he really said that? Is that what he means? And sad to say, many today trust in the works of their own hands to make them righteous. But as we read in Jeremiah 1 verse 16, it all fails. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me and have burned incense unto gods and worshipped the works of their own hands. And religious people love to worship the works of their own hands, the things they do. the acts of their own hands, their own self-righteousness, their own good works, the things that they give money here, they do this, they help a neighbour, they go to church, all the actions that they can do themselves. They worship those things, they trust in those things to make them righteous. And these men knew the language. These men knew the terminology. These men knew all about religion. They knew about the traditions. They knew the Old Testament law. But they didn't know Christ. They didn't know the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Pharisees did not and would not trust in Christ for salvation. And friend, if you're not trusting Christ tonight for salvation, if you're not trusting alone in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're in the same place as these Pharisees, and you're lost. You see, they thought that they did not need the Lord Jesus Christ. They were good enough in themselves, thinking that one day they'd stand before God and tell him all about their good works, tell him about all the traditions they kept. Oh, they washed their hands before they eat. They washed the cups. They wiped down the tables. They kept all these traditions perfectly. And they would stand before God and say, we did this, we did that. We kept your law. And they thought God would be impressed of all these good works and would allow them into heaven. They're so self-deceived. They're deluded. They didn't even know it. They enjoy and they love the carnal security of their self-righteousness. Oh, they so trusted in themselves that in their own eyes they were righteous. And if anyone was going to make it to heaven, oh, without a doubt they would. They would be the first there. And with many in that class in our day, and many who trust in their baptism, oh, I was baptized as a child. I was confirmed. I go to church. I give my tithes. I go to church faithfully. Perhaps they even trust in the things they do in the name of Christ, for many do that. Many seek to do things in the name of the gospel, or the name of the church, in the name of God. And, you know, they give to charity. They'll do this. They'll help out in church. They'll do all these things in the name of Christ. But yet they never trust in that Christ. May God be pleased to open your eyes, friend, tonight. If you're relying upon your good work, if you're relying upon your self-righteousness, even relying upon coming to this church, you think coming here is going to be enough to get you to heaven? What did Paul say in Romans 10, verse 2? For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they have been ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. No, they're trusting in their own righteousness, that they're good enough to get to heaven. Notice again what Christ says about this group in Luke 18, verse 9 here. He said they were trusted in themselves, that they were righteous, and despised others. Notice that. These people despised others. Not only were they deluded to trust in their own self-righteousness, but they looked down their noses at everyone else. Oh, they were better than everyone else. They despised them. And friends, when you go to witness to a self-righteous person, you know, and you go to even share the Bible with them, share the gospel with them, share a Bible verse with them, go to give them a track. Oh, they despise you. They look down their nose at you. You say, I'm a sinner. I go to church. I belong to such and such a church. I pay my tithes. I was baptized. I was confirmed. How dare you say I need to be saved? How dare you say I'm a sinner? So self-righteous. Despise others. So opposed to the gospel of Christ. So deluded in their own self-righteousness. This Pharisee in a self-righteous security. But notice also this Pharisee in a self-righteous steps. In verses 10 to 12, we read here, two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Notice that. Notice his position here. The Pharisee stood. Now, standing in and of itself was not wrong, because many stood in that. That was common in that tradition to stand, but the tense here that's used in the Greek, the word implies that he stood, taking his position, striking an attitude. It is, look at me. Look at me. Everything the Pharisees did was for the purpose of being seen. Of being seen by men. And the Lord speaks of them in Matthew 6, verse 5, and when praying in such a way. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And this man didn't come to pray. This man didn't come to seek God. He came to get attention. We'll see that by the way he stood and where he stood to get the most attention. In contrast, notice the publican in verse 13. The publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. This publican was interested in getting attention from God and not from men. He stood afar off, out of the gaze of men. He didn't want to be seen of men. He came to pray to God. But the Pharisee, no, he came to seek the praise of men. This was his selfish position. Notice his prayer. He prayed here, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. He glories in himself. It's all about him. There are five I's in this. I do this. I'm not as other men. I fast. I give. I possess. It's all, I thank thee, I'm not as other men. It's all about him. Me. Oh, he thinks he's got God's attention, but the only interested person was himself. He's exalting himself. God was nowhere in sight. And, you know, me even reminded as I read these words, as he talked about himself, how the Bible speaks it in the last days, on the day of judgment, when the Lord comes again, that many will say in that day, I did this in thy name. I did that in thy name. It's all about me. I did this. I did that. And the Lord says, depart from me. I never knew you. Never knew you. Well, you did all these things in your self-righteousness, but you never did them in the name of my dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you may have come to church all your life. You may have prayed. You may have gave money into the church. You may have done all these things. You may have done this and that and the other. And you can boast of all these things that you may have done. But I never knew you. You didn't do them in my name. You didn't do them for my sake. I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Out into eternity, out into hell. This man, all he was concerned about was himself and self-praise. Butler says, some people cannot open their mouth without soon spewing out self-exaltation. And the Pharisees were so bad at this that they could not even get far into a prayer before they were praising themselves. Such prayers reek with an unholy stench in the nostrils of a holy God. His prayer. Notice his praise. This Pharisee does not thank God for God's goodness or for God's blessing towards him, but he thanks God for his own self-righteousness. God, I thank thee I'm not as other men are. He says, Lord, I thank you that I'm self-righteous. That's really what he's saying. I thank you that I'm better than everyone else. This Pharisee had no clue concerning the mercy and grace and the holiness of God, because a true child of God realizes that there's no goodness in them. That we're nothing but hell-deserving sinners that deserve judgment and the wrath of God. And a true child of God knows that we don't merit favor. We don't merit anything. But this man, he was so self-centered, so conceited, so vain, so proud and so arrogant that he thought he was better than everyone else. He praised his own self-righteousness. Sadly, many today are like that. Don't understand the depravity of their heart. Oh yes, so quick to point the finger at others who sin. So quick to point the finger at maybe the down and out, the walk past on the street, turn their nose over at them, say, oh, they're a sinner. They need God's mercy, but not me. Friends, we're all sinners by nature. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, from the very youngest to the very oldest, from the richest to the poorest. No matter our estate in this life, whether we're famous or not famous, whether we have much or little, we're all sinners. All sinners. None of us can ever claim that we are self-righteous or have any goodness in us. But not this man. This man, all he thought was he was better than everyone else, and he loves to condemn others even for the same sins that he committed himself. He goes on to say here, he says, I'm not like other men, and extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. He says, I'm not like these men. I'm so much better than these men. Look how good I am. Look at my performance. Look what I have done. This man loves to condemn others. Even this poor publican that was standing off in the corner, not wanting to be seen by men, came to pray unto God, and this Pharisee points him out. I'm not like this man. I'm better than him. Self-praise. He's not happy with commending himself but he has to attack this poor publican also. That's the only way that Pharisees can exalt themselves, is by criticizing others, because that's why they spent their whole time criticizing Christ. Because people were flooding to hear Christ preach and hear the gospel message, and these men were being left to the side, so to speak. Oh, they didn't like that. They wanted to exalt themselves, so they went and criticized Christ. And here this man criticized this poor publican, this poor sinner who came to the temple with that heart to seek God and to repent of his sin. Oh, this man is no doubt very proud of himself. And one of the reasons he boasted of his own religious rites is because he probably felt he went over and above the scriptures. Because he says in verse 12, I fast twice in the week. And it's not commanded in scripture anywhere to fast twice in the week. So this man, this was a man-made rite, not God-made. And he thought he was going above what God had demanded. And he thought this made him better than everyone else. He thought that God would be amazed at his good works. That God would be happy with his self-righteousness and these observance of these religious rites and ceremonies. Pharisee. Notice here is punishment also. Because in Matthew 23, the Lord calls out the Pharisees as being wretched hypocrites. There in Matthew 23, and the verse 13, turn there for a moment to Matthew 23. Just read a couple of these verses together. The Lord devotes a number of verses to these men, these hypocrites. Matthew 23, in the verse 13, he says, Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up heaven, the kingdom of heaven, against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Verse 14, Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Verse 25, Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Verse 29, Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. And then in verse 33, this fearful text that any self-righteous person should fear, Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? He's saying to these self-righteous men, you're nothing but serpents and a generation of vipers, and how can ye escape the damnation of hell? And dear friend tonight, if you are relying upon your self-righteousness, your good works, all that you seek to do in the name of reaching heaven, then you'll not escape the damnation of hell. Rather, you'll end up there. You'll end up there with this Pharisee that we're reading of, if he did not repent and trust in Christ. Because there's no salvation for your soul outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And no matter what you do, you can live 100 lives. You can give every penny you earn to the poor, to the church. You can attend every service going from the moment you're born to the moment you die. You can read your Bible every day. You can pray every day. You can do all those things for an eternity. But if you're not trusting Christ for salvation, you'll still be in hell. The Pharisee. But notice, secondly, the publican. Notice the contrast in this man. Verse 13. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, the publicans were despised. They were hated by all the Jews because they collected tax for the Romans. They were hated. They were hated by all the Jews. And these publicans were seen as sinners. You know, as the Pharisees looked at these people, as all the Jews looked upon these people, these are the sinners. These people are the sinners. But notice his position here in comparison to the Pharisee. Verse 13, and the publican standing afar off. Now, if you would look at both of these men outwardly, the Pharisee and the publican, the Pharisee would look good to others. He goes to the temple to pray. He fasts twice a week. He gives his tithes. The publican, on the other hand, he went round stealing money from the Jews. He was a tax collector who work for the Romans who were hated. He was a sinner of the worst kind. He deceived, he stole, he extorted money from others. He was a wicked person in the eyes of all those who knew him. So even before he went to the temple, he already was condemned and looked upon as a sinner and wicked to others. And you can almost hear them mock as he walks up to the temple. So what's he doing here? What's he doing here? He shouldn't be here. But aren't you glad, friend, that the Lord looks upon the heart? Looks upon the heart. And not upon the outward appearance. And while the Pharisee praised his own glory, this poor publican, who was nobody's friend, stood afar off, seeing his own unworthiness. He is unworthy to even be there. And when the Pharisee basked in the temple, this publican got as far away from the holy place as he could while still remaining in the temple. He stood as far away in the background as possible in the temple. Albert Barnes says, the publican stood on the other side of the same court, as far as possible from the temple, being conscious of his own unworthiness to approach the sacred place where God had his holy habitation. He had a different position. Notice his posture in comparison to the Pharisees. He would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. And I can almost see this Pharisee praying with his hands open and his head looking up in smugness, looking round him at everyone. See who's watching him. Perhaps even pointing to the publican and maybe laughing and mocking this poor publican over in the corner who would not even lift his eyes up to heaven. Barnes again says, men who are conscious of guilt always fix their eyes on the ground. Read in Ezra 9 and 6. Ezra said, O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head and our trespass has grown up unto the heavens. You think of King David in Psalm 51, who is broken over his sin. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from all sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. O broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Verse 13 here it says, this publican smote upon his breast. And the verb in the Greek means that he kept on smiting or beating his breast. He was beating and pounding continually with his fist, which no doubt set forth his repentance. Another commentator says, to strike the breast in an emblem of the stroke of is an emblem of a stroke of death, which a sinner feels that he has merited at the hand of God. Saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, I deserve death. See, no one had asked this man, no one had asked this publican, do you believe you're a sinner? Do you feel you've done a bad thing? Hitting his breast with this demonstration of the anguish and grief he had over his sin. And this should be the attitude of every sinner. You see, if you're to be saved, friend, if you're ever to be saved, you have to come to that point in your life when you realize that you're a sinner. When conviction grips your heart and you come to a point when you cry out to God, say, I'm a sinner. I deserve death. I deserve hell. I deserve wrath. I'm unfit for heaven. Oh Lord, be merciful to me. And my self-righteousness are nothing but filthy rags in thy sight. Notice his petition here. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He went directly to God for mercy. No doubt the prayer of this broken sinner caught the ears and heart of God. Two men praying, one boasting of how good he was, how worthy he was, and the other, he says, I'm nothing but a sinner. Deserve hell. Which one did God hear? You see, the Pharisee saw in himself nothing but goodness, and the publican saw nothing in himself, nothing but wickedness. The Pharisee hoped in his goodness, but the publican hoped in the mercy of God. The publican went right to the source. No one else but God. And we are reminded tonight, if you're outside of Christ, then you must go to Christ. You think of blind Bartimaeus. in Mark 10, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. King David, against thee only have I sinned. Friend, the message is clear this evening. God says it himself in Isaiah 45 and 22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. That's exactly what this publican was doing. He wasn't looking to man. He wasn't looking to religion. He wasn't working to works. He didn't come to the temple to work for salvation. He came to the temple because he knew that he needed to cry out to God for mercy. There was no other way to be saved. Friend, if you are to be saved tonight, it's by Christ and Christ alone. You see, this publican pleaded for mercy. He pleaded for mercy. He didn't plead any merit like the Pharisee. The Pharisee pleaded all the merits of self-righteousness. But this poor publican had nothing to plead. Nothing to plead. The publican said so clearly and so resounding, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. A sinner. As the scholars say, that phrase, a sinner, could be translated, the sinner. The word has a definite article in the Greek, and the idea is, a publican is not just saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He's saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. It's as if he's the only sinner in the whole world. It's like the Apostle Paul who cried, he said, I am the chief of sinners. No one else matters. It's as if I'm the only sinner in this whole world. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Amazing, this Pharisee could not even consider himself a sinner. Well, he pointed out who he is so much better than everyone else. But this publican saw himself as the sinner, as the worst of sinners. And friend, I wonder tonight, how do you see yourself before God? Do you see yourself as a sinner? Or do you see yourself in your self-righteousness? Friend, if you're ever to be saved tonight, you need to be convicted of the fact that you are a sinner. A sinner. Think of the words of Job in Job 4, 42, verse 6. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And when a sinner sees himself in that position, it's nothing but a hell-deserving sinner. They can do nothing but repent, cry out for mercy. One thing as we finish, notice the pronouncement here in verse 14. Lord says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. First thing Christ does for us regarding these two men praying in the temple is to pronounce the publican saved and justified. Because the publican petitioned God for mercy, he found justification for his soul. A friend tonight, I wonder, what about you? Have you pleaded to God for mercy? This poor publican went down to his house justified. Friend, how will you return home this evening? Will you return home justified, or will you return home condemned? Under the condemnation of God, will you continue to make excuses for your sin? Will you continue to rely upon yourself and everything else and leave Christ out? Don't you want to return home tonight, accepted before God, forgiven of your sin? To do that, you must come like this publican. You must cry for mercy. You must come to God, seeking the mercy of God. Come to Christ, crying, calling, seeking after him, and he will meet you. He will meet you at the mercy seat. Oh, he delights in mercy tonight. That's the wonderful good news of the gospel, that God delights in mercy. God is full of mercy. God is rich in mercy. God's mercy is abundant. There's no shortage of his mercy tonight for the sinner. God extends mercy to sinners for salvation. Oh, I urge you, do not walk out that door without Christ, without mercy, without seeking the Lord. Isaiah 55 and 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God he will abundantly pardon. And this poor publican who came, who had nothing, went home justified, Whereas the Pharisee went home condemned. And friend, tonight, if you're still outside of Christ, if you go home tonight without Christ, you're still condemned. You see, in hell there's no mercy. You think of the rich man. Remember the rich man in hell when he cried in Luke 16:24? And he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and come and just touch my tongue and cool my tongue." But there was no mercy. He cried for mercy. He cried for mercy. "Father, have mercy upon me." But it was too late. You see, the publican realized that he needed to cry for mercy before it was too late. He came to the temple. He fell on his knees. He struck his breast. He cried out, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." God answered his prayer. The rich man in hell, it was too late. There was no mercy for him. No mercy for him. God forbid, friend, that anyone here would reject the mercy of God. Go out into a lost sinner's hell and cry out for eternity, "Have mercy on me." And there's no mercy. You see, if you would be saved tonight, you must cast yourself upon the mercy of God, which he offers now. As we mentioned this morning, behold, now is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. It's now. And there's mercy for you now if you would but come. But then it'll be too late. Oh, this poor publican cried out, and God heard his prayer. God answered his prayer. He came home justified, accepted. He had peace with God. He was forgiven his sin. All those sins in the past, those stealing from the people and being an outcast in society, a wicked man, all was forgiven. But this Pharisee, he still went home under the wrath of God, under the condemnation of God. And friend, God forbid you'd walk out of this meeting tonight still under the condemnation of God. When there's mercy for you, won't you come? Come to Christ tonight. Cry out to him. There's the promise of Scripture that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He will hear your cry tonight. He will save you. And may the Lord speak to your heart this evening. May you come to him. Do not depend upon yourself and your good works and everything else. And even this church. This church will fail you. This church will not get you any further into heaven than the Roman Catholic Church or any other church. But rather, this church, depending upon it, will bring you to a lost sinner's hell. Don't depend upon church. Don't depend upon a man, a preacher, anyone else. Depend upon the only man that can save you. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to him this evening. Repent, trust in him for salvation. Let's close our meeting. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Oh, Father in heaven, oh Lord, we thank you for the mercy that thou hast shown towards sinners such as we. Oh Lord, thou art so merciful to us. We didn't deserve it. Lord, we think upon our own lives. We think upon the sins we committed, blasphemies, Lord, against thy great name. And Lord, yet you are merciful to us. Well, Father, we thank you there's mercy tonight for the sinner that comes to Christ. Oh, Father, speak in this meeting. I realize that a preacher can't create an anxious thought. We look to the Holy Spirit to move and to convict of sin, to convince sinners of their need of Christ. Oh, Lord, do that work which only thou can do this evening. Lord, we believe we've been faithful in our part. We've brought the word, we've preached the word. Lord, we pray now that thou'll bless the word and thou'll use the word even to speak to some soul in this meeting. We pray for those who listen online. Maybe there's some individual tonight who's listened to this service who have been convicted of their sin. Oh, Father, speak to them even in their own home, wherever they're watching on. Even there they can cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ to have mercy upon them. Oh, speak, Lord, even as the voice of the preacher grows silent, speak on by the voice of thy Spirit. Lord, bless us, tarry with us, even through the remainder of this week. Lord, keep us walking close with thee. Help us to lead lives that are separated unto the cause of the gospel. Help us, Father, to be shining lights in this wicked world. May others see Christ even in us. Bless us now. Go before us. We pray it all in our Saviour's precious name. Amen.